News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th of July, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We'll be bringing you news and stuff like that and taking your phone calls and all kinds of fascinating and exciting things will be going on, Ben. We're going to start with the news, and we're going to start with Steve.
Welcome.
Yeah, you've been gone for...
I've been gone for a couple of
weeks.
Welcome
back.
Welcome back. Thank you. Had some interesting product announcements from Apple coming out this week. Apple introduced their fourth-generation iPod. One of the jokes that Jobs made is that the other companies are still struggling with their first generation, and we're on our fourth.
Right.
Basically, it's a little bit thinner than the existing the third generation iPods, and they've adapted the click wheel that the Mini had. In the first couple generations of iPod, there were buttons around the wheel, and then the third generation had a row of buttons above the wheel. And now they've got the button right in the wheel. So it's kind of one of those, why didn't we think of that sooner type thing.
You're right. Yeah.
So just put the button in the wheel so it shortens the user interface and makes it a little easier to control. They've also updated the battery life. So now they're estimating up to 12 hours of battery life. And they lowered the prices. The 20-gig model is now $299, and the 40-gig model is $399, so that's $100 less. There's still nothing about the rumored 60-gig model. Toshiba announced a couple of months ago they've got a 60-gig 1.8-inch hard drive.
Yep.
It's the size of a quarter, literally.
Yeah, super. I saw some pictures.
Very tiny.
Yeah.
A lot of rumors that Apple's going to come out with a 60-gig iPod with a color screen, with wireless capability built in, being able to play video and show photos. But a lot of those rumors sort of require a bigger device to be able to see the pictures and see the video. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, you know, contradicts what the iPod is all about, is the really tiny, really neat interface and
well, but
and
if you
box.
Look at things like the Argos video player,
right? So
and it
may be a whole separate product.
Exactly.
iPod video with 3-inch color screen, you know, not intending to actually fit in your pocket.
Right.
And they've talked about the iPod zombies. When you go into some of the larger cities, you know, you'll see people walking down the street with the little white earbuds on, and they all nod to each other back and forth. You know, it's like the camaraderie among motorcycle riders.
Yeah.
You have no idea who he is. You just nod to him. You know, acknowledge each other. You know, neat bike back and forth. So the iPod zombies are doing it sort of the same way. And sort of in conjunction with that, Apple has signed up three major European independent labels for the European Apple iTunes Music Store. So they're getting more and more independent labels on, in addition to the five major record labels that they have in America and in Europe. They're getting more and more independent songs. And it's really interesting to see how the France and UK and German music stores work. They highlight local talent in addition to you know, the American bands. It's always interesting to see news from other countries, and we realize how, you know, America centric we are, and
right.
There's a lot more to the world than us. And it's highlights this specific groups in that specific country, and it's really neat being able to buy the music in other stores. And they've also got the iPod Minis are now available internationally, and they were unveiled in Tokyo this week as well. They were expecting to get the iPod Mini out to the rest of the world several months ago, but after taking hundreds of thousands of orders locally, they had to delay their international launch. So one of the things that Jobs joked about is that the iPod has a, I'm going to remember now, 60% market, 60 to 70% market share of all portable MP3 players. The iTunes Music Store has a 90% market share of all online legal music sales. And so it's nice to be above that 5% that all the other magazines always quote.
You're right, right.
I'm actually interested in seeing the new iPod. Now, it's the size of the old iPod.
It's a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but
all
about,
right.
The same, yeah, same right. Horizontal.
So it's still bigger than the minis.
Yes.
But the same price now.
Well, the mini is $250 for a 1,000 songs on a 4 gig flash drive.
Right.
And they're saying that the mini is selling so hot that 1,000 songs seems to be about, you know, what people like to carry around with them. The larger iPods, the 20 gig is $299. So that's been a controversy. Is that, you know, a 4 gig for $250, or, you know, it used to be the 15 gig, now the 20 gig for $50 more.
Right.
You know, it's almost, the mini isn't really worth buying. It's only 4 gigs, but you don't buy it for the capacity. It's the looks, the color, you know,
if they can get that Toshiba drive out,
right,
it's
going
to be a lot smaller. They can then, downsize this, you know, portability wise,
right.
Even
well,
less.
Well, that's why the current 20 and 40s use the Toshiba 1.8 inch hard drives.
Yeah.
The mini uses a flash drive, so it's even smaller yet. It's the size of a postage stamp. In fact, there were a lot of rumors on the net that the 4 gig flash drive that you would put in, like, your digital camera to take high res pictures, right, was selling for $400 to $500.
Right.
Well, Apple came out with an iPod mini for $250 that had one of these drives in it. So people are buying the minis, ripping the hard drive out, and doubling their investment.
Right. Pretty neat. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whether it's 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back with Soundbites. I apologize to everybody looking for the camera. Maybe I shouldn't tell anybody. They probably think it's a new picture. but I've got a different computer here, and not everything is set up. But I think I've got the stream running correctly. There's somebody in Weehawken listening, so I suspect I do.
Probably.
probably. Or at least they're listening to
Dead Air.
Home. I don't know quite what that's about. Anyway, Microsoft and Apple are being sued for patent infringement over the use of web-based software updating technology. It's a London-based intellectual property company, BTG PLC. An intellectual property company means they don't actually do anything but sue other people, kind of like SCO. Anyway, they filed suit against the companies in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. They allege that Apple and Microsoft's operating system, as well as Microsoft's Office application suite, incorporate technologies covered by a U.S. patent granted in April 2003. That would be 2003. Microsoft and Apple have been using this technology since, what, 1943?
Yeah.
And now in 2003, some 60 years later, maybe not quite 60 years, but at any rate, they also sued Microsoft separately for patent infringement over active Windows and offline browsing. So we'll see what comes of that. It's just another way to make money without actually doing anything.
Wasn't there a guy a couple of years ago that patented the wheel?
And
then wanted to sue everyone using wheels.
Yeah,
yeah, but there's some prior art.
yeah, but no one had patented it before.
And that's exactly right. But you know what? And this is what bothers me about this stuff. They're allowing patents for the stupidest things these days. You know, the reality is there is prior art on so many things.
Yep.
That all it takes is somebody with the brain God gave pigs to figure this out, and they're just, oh, okay, here's a patent. Knock stuff out. Microsoft is enforcing their anti-spam plan. They're going to use a sender ID, which is a lovely idea. But, of course, if your system doesn't understand sender ID, if your email program doesn't understand sender ID,
which none of them do.
Right, right. The Induce Copyright Act that the U.S. Senate is about to vote on. This would make it illegal to in any way encourage anybody from ever copying anything ever. This suit could be used to sue the people who make P2P software, who use P2P software,
who make VHS tape.
Videotape
machines. CD writers.
Yep.
Pretty much, anything that allows you to copy, anything would now be illegal. Personally, I think this is a fairly bad law. This is stupid and bad. So if you think so too, write to your congressperson immediately and tell them they're idiots if they vote for this. Microsoft actually gave away money this week. Well, not quite. What they're doing is they're offering a $3 per share one-time payout as on Tuesday. And, of course, that has to do, I think, a lot with the fact that as part of the president's tax breaks for the little guy, anybody who gets this sort of dividend, instead of paying 35%, will pay only 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's nice. It helps all us little guys. We'll get, for all those of us who have Microsoft stock.
Can't afford Microsoft stock.
Yeah, that's the point. It's all going to the big. It's all going to the big boys, and they're the ones who are going to make out from this. But
there was this neat company called it's like OneShare.com. You can buy one share of your favorite company. You get a stock certificate in a frame and a certificate of authenticity. Nothing for investing. It's just cool to have one share of your favorite company.
Or you can always write to them and say, as a stockholder, I'd like to have my say.
You get to go to the stockholders meetings in Maui.
Right. And part of that came about because Microsoft had a terrific quarter. It was a good quarter for them. The question on Wall Street, of course, is never mind the cash. How's their business doing? And people are waiting, I think, at this point to see how well Microsoft does in convincing their customers that the upgrade advantage, the people who bought into the upgrade advantage program to go to the software assurance program. Part of the problem is the upgrade advantage product, you paid a certain amount of money, and for 2 years your updates were free. During those 2 years, there were no updates. And people are just a tiny, tiny bit porked off about that. So Microsoft is saying, you're right, upgrade advantage is a bad idea. We're going to call it software assurance now. And so we'll see how and if that that gets anywhere.
Well, at the OneShare.com, their top-selling OneShare certificates are Disney, Harley, Microsoft, Boston Beer, Pixar, Krispy Kreme, Starbucks, Wyndham, Bush, and Trump.
They're
top 10 selling one shares of stock.
Nice. You can buy a one share in Bush.
Yeah.
The beer or the president?
Anheuser-Busch, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. I was confused there for a moment.
So there's two beers, coffee, donuts, kids, motorcycles.
And Microsoft,
yeah.
A big note for we geeks. Earlier this week, Slashdot went dark.
Oh.
For a certain amount of time. It was actually last Friday night. And shockwaves went through the geek world. What could these people possibly be doing? Turns out they were moving to a new server. But geeks the world over had nothing to do for a couple hours. It was frightening for them. They actually found that they might need to talk to a human.
Reorganize their pencils.
Right, and right. And to clean up their hard drive instead of actually being on Slashdot. And people went nuts. People are pretty crazy about this. And they said, you know what? We moved to a new server. Get over it. My favorite one this week is you've heard about the 419 scams. Send us money. We've got $1 billion in this account, and all we need from you is a couple of thousand and we cancel check, and we'll give you anything. And we all know that's a scam. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. But there's a new one now. Now they're sending out notices to people that say, if you don't send us money, we'll send people to your house to beat you up.
Literally?
Yes. Now, okay. That
I know works. Creditors are bad, but not that bad.
This is not a creditor thing. This is a scam. I understand that actually works for the mafia because they really have people who do this. But I can't imagine this ever actually working. You get an email from some guy in Nigeria who says, send us $40,000 or we'll send. You will be snipped. I believe they mean sniped. It says snipped and gunned down.
Well, it depends on how manly you are. You might not want to be snipped.
That's exactly right. Snipped could be worse than gunned down. They may mean snipped. You're right.
Yeah.
But at any rate, your death has been paid for by someone you offended some time ago, and it will be advisable that you cooperate with us ASAP.
Cool.
I'm just shaking my little blue booties right now, so we're going to take a quick break so I can get my composure back. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Donald. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, I missed him again. Wait, no, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to go to the phones now.
No, we're not.
Well, not what we're going to do.
How about letting me do some news?
I thought you did your news.
No, Gabby Hayes here.
Oh, Gabby was talking.
I took the first break. Nick took the second break.
I apologize.
Now Dave is going to take till the third break.
I thought, I don't know. I'm trying to set this machine up so I can do, I got the audio stream working, I think, but I didn't get the video stream working yet. It's gotten me confused.
No problem. I just had to pick on you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
The creator of MP3, who actually came up with the MP3 format, is now coming out with 3D sound. And basically, this is going to add new realism in sound theaters, theme parks, and eventually in your home. So it's going to be three-dimensional sound so that if you actually hear, you know, say, a car coming down a street, you're going to hear it come down at you and as it goes away. They've got it somewhat in theaters right now, but it's, you know, they have to hit a certain sweet spot for it to actually take effect and make it really seem like it's there. But for you folks, though, that are thinking of getting a gaming machine, well, HP is coming out in November, just in time for Christmas, with some serious game machines. They're going to offer Pentium 4s or Athlons. The Athlons will be either the 35 or the 3800 or the new FX53. And the Pentiums range anywhere from a 2.8 gigahertz to a 3.4 gigahertz. And these are going to be really beefed up. 256 megs of video memory. They're going to offer up to 2 gig of onboard memory. Let's see what else they got in here. Hard drives. You can choose from two 160 up to 320 gigabyte hard drives.
Nice.
So, and they're also going to throw in the 8
gig. Get an array of, array of those, you're on your way.
Well,
they're also going to offer, RAID drives in there, too, if you want to get into that.
Well, notice how 160 is small. 160 gigs is their small drive.
Yeah, and you can get twin 320s, or if you go into a RAID, you know, you can get into that thing. But one other thing, though, before we go to the news, or actually to a call.
Yeah.
We failed.
We failed?
Yes. The three of us.
I wasn't here.
No.
No, it's the three of us.
No, it's the three of us. We had a certain individual visit my shop this week.
Did we?
We won't mention names.
No, we won't. Will we, Rob?
But we failed.
Just making him part of the group because we're a we.
Yes.
It's we.
Yes. We're a team.
He's been waiting for this all week. He knew it was coming.
He owes us, though, some cookies. Well, you better talk to a certain individual.
Some of Dave's customers have been known to bake.
Yep. But, no, got a panic call. My machine's all messed up. But what, and I got to take part of the responsibility in that we also have to tell folks, although I think we do, when we sit there and tell them to dance the tango, it's all the most recent stuff.
Yes.
Like Adaware 6.0, not yes. Adaware
181.
5.0.
You can't get to 6.0.1.6. You need the 6.0.1.8.1.
Right.
Yeah.
Or when you're talking SpyBot, version 1.2 has been dead for how long?
And not updated.
Months and months.
Well, a certain individual forgot to do those. Along with, what do we tell folks week after week? About antivirus.
Update. Every single day you should update. Well, and the thing makes it easy. You can go in and say update every day and make
not,
it happen automatically.
Not if you're running
itself.
An older version that well, expired true. 6 years well, ago but, without you
right,
knowing
right.
it.
Right, right. If you can't set it to do that, you're running an old version. It's time to move up.
Well, we had to do some serious work, and we turned it around real quick, and we take it that the thing is running.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing?
It's a beautiful thing.
So are we
you know,
saying
here's the deal. I mean, you know, I use my laptop to produce the midday show every day, maybe 3 hours.
I don't have the time. But apparently now I'm going to make the time.
You have to have the time. It's not a matter of wanting to make the time.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I listen to you guys every week, but I'm just like, nah.
It won't happen.
And then I got this NIMDA thing pop up. I'm like, oh no, Dave's
NIMDA.
Gonna kill me.
That's years old, isn't it?
Oh,
well, see, but that's the point,
that's
isn't
the point.
It?
Yeah.
Mrs. Linton, he owes us some cookies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
So this is it, ladies and gentlemen. It can happen anywhere. Oh, are we? Oh, you're gonna make us take a breath
right.
And yell at us off the air? Okay, we'll be back
we'll
in just a couple
open.
Of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve
you're
Ray, Rob.
This,
couldn't
right?
happen to me, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show you'll ever listen to, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Can we go
got,
to the phone now?
No, we got just to let you know, we got cookies coming.
We got cookies
Mrs.
coming.
Mrs. Linton heard us for our plea, and...
Anything to embarrass Rob, she likes.
Whatever it takes to
she
embarrass
is gonna
Rob.
Take, she knows. We take care of her. She's sending in some cookies.
Mrs. Linton, if you'd like to send us baby pictures, we'll post them on the website.
Woo!
Not a problem.
No, not a chance.
Yeah,
she knows where my shop is. She can always drop
been
them
there,
off.
Done that. Had that happen, what, about a year and a half ago, people got pictures of me?
That's right. And we yeah. got. Oh, you're looking good in some of those
jeez.
Pictures.
Jeez, sweet.
And for those of you who don't know, at our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, we have forums, and people post pictures. The movie posters I put up, but there are a bunch still in the forums. And you know, Rob seems to appear prominently in some of them, particularly the one, well, I'm sorry, what was it? You were on cough medication or something?
I have not looked in the forums
birth,
in a long
it was
time.
A birth, it was your 21st birthday party.
21st yeah, birthday, yeah. He's holding up, it looked like, you looked...
Half in the
you
bag.
Looked happy.
Yes.
And he made some excuse that he was on cough medicine. Yes. Or I don't remember what excuse he came up. Neither is he, apparently.
He doesn't
but
remember
he looked,
it. Was
he
in
looked,
the blank
let's
look.
Just say happy. It was his 21st birthday, and he was looking happy. And that particular picture has appeared on numerous Dorothy. He's been Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Don't forget the Teletubby.
The Teletubby. Yeah. A whole bunch of them. He's been good.
And that woman in a dress. The
Dorothy?
The, yeah.
Dorothy,
you,
there's a couple
eyes.
Women in a dress, actually, yeah, you've yeah. been over time.
I
so.
Do what I can.
Yeah, you've been doing... No, he's good. Can we go to the phones now? Would that be all right with
we
you?
We only got like 2 minutes, but sure.
Yeah, sure. We'll take Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Well, I think there's a problem here.
Yeah, there is.
You haven't moved since 4/10/2004.
We haven't moved? Yeah, that's what I said. I got a different computer here.
Yeah.
And I haven't got the software
he's trying
right
to stop the
aging
process.
Well, you know, the animatronics at Disney World have more motion than you guys.
It's stop motion animation, one frame per year.
One frame per year. If you live long enough, you'll see us move.
There you go. About a week and a half ago, I had 98 on my machine.
Yeah.
And it was working very nicely, but it was time to move up. So I moved up to XP.
Yeah.
And I took the XP disk and put it in my CD drive, and it loaded just fine. Mm-hmm. Brought over all my settings except for my CDs, and it will not find them.
What, is it just a basic CD-ROM drive?
One is a CD-ROM drive, a basic one, and the other one is a writer.
Okay.
And the one, the Mitsami may be too old. And that's just a...
Have you tried going to the website for that particular drive to see if they have XP drivers?
I have not found them.
Well, I guess they... I mean, CD-ROM drives right now, I mean, in fact, I'm almost doing away with just carrying plain CD-ROM drives.
Right, you want the right... Well, he's got one of each. He's got a CD-ROM yeah. drive and a writer,
does
and
Windows,
neither one shows up.
Yeah, Windows doesn't even recognize it as a reader.
It doesn't recognize either one of them.
Either one of them?
Neither one.
As anything?
As anything. It doesn't show up, but I tried to go through the configuration, you know, search for hardware and all like that.
That's weird, because you loaded XP off of the CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
Let's think about it, and we can, when we come back from the break, maybe we can make up something good.
We'll make some. I've been on this problem before, and I have no answer either. But we're going to take a break because we just don't want to really talk to Brian anymore. We'll be back in just a few minutes after the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, we cut Brian off rather abruptly,
yeah,
although he's used to that. I mean, it's really the best he's been treated in public in years. But still, I think we owe him a little more explanation.
I think I don't know if he said that he had tried going into the control panel and doing add hardware. Because if it doesn't see it, you can try to force it. In other words, say that it's a CD-ROM drive. Because they're all new ones, I mean, XP just sees them. I mean, I've had it old 4X and 2X CD-ROM drives, normally it will see them. So, I mean, there's something fishy going on there. He can, try to do a scan or force it into it. But otherwise, I'd have to see it and play with it.
The other thing we were thinking is that if you shut the machine down, physically unplug the drives, reboot
which side the red part of the ribbon cable went to, or just unplug the power cord is really all you need to do.
Right, well, and then when you reboot the computer, the drives are really gone. Shut it down, plug the drives back in, and reboot and see if it finds it. Because what it almost sounds like is the drives are sort of there, but not really. Right. So the searching for new hardware may not find it because it thinks that it already did.
Well, one other thing, when it's booting, he should also, on that flash screen, you can hit the pause, and it'll list tells you your memory, your processor, and it tells you what hard drives and other devices it finds. Hit that pause button, the pause key. It'll stop the screen right out there and make sure that the system is actually seeing them. And then if it does,
that they're not somehow turned off in the BIOS.
And then
Right. So I like Steve's idea, personally. I think unhook them, reboot so they're really gone, shut down again, hook them back up, then turn it on, and it should find them again. So, Brian, try that. Give you something to do this afternoon because you can't go out in the pool. And let us know if that works. Our next caller, Bob from Henrietta. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I'm running 98, and my computer shop told me that I'd be better off using a router for a firewall instead of using a software-based firewall like Zone Alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Hardware is always better, but software is often cheaper.
Yeah.
Right.
It also depends on how fast your machine is. If you've got a fairly slow machine, you don't want to bog it down with extra things like firewalls.
I only have one PC, and I don't need a lot of bells and whistles, so I want to go out and get a router today. Can you recommend one, or what should I be looking for
Linksys.
For a cheap firewall?
Linksys or D-Link? Linksys.
I'm sorry, what?
Linksys, Linksys, or D-Link, D as in dog, dash, Link.
Did they resolve the issues with D-Link, remember?
No, that was Belkin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we don't like
Belkin. We don't like Belkin.
Yeah, we don't.
But we like D-Link and we like Linksys.
A lot of times you'll find a one-port router that is intended to plug into your existing hub to share among other computers. Or a four-port router is like $10 more.
No.
Oftentimes.
No, I've seen where they very few have them. And the four ports are cheaper.
Sometimes, yeah. Even though you only have one computer now, you may be getting more computers in the future. And the four-port routers aren't that much more, if not cheaper, than a one-port. So it gives you room to grow later on if you do buy a second computer.
Okay, I don't have a hub or anything, so I can just buy this router and plug it in.
Right, the router includes a four-port hub.
Gotcha.
Built in.
A switch, actually, but we don't need to go there.
Right.
Yeah, so it allows you to connect up to four computers directly, or you add a hub, and you can connect up to 255 computers if you really want to.
And if you get a wireless one, you know, down the road, if you ever got a laptop, a lot of the laptops nowadays come with built-in wireless networking in them. You could be anywhere in the house and still get on the Internet.
So a wireless four-port, wireless and wired four-port routers are under $100.
Okay, one other quick question. After my computer boots, I get the pop-up saying that my McAfee antivirus subscription has subscribed.
Expired?
Expired. How do I stop that?
You got to renew.
Uninstall it or buy a new subscription.
Uninstalling it is probably just as good as not doing anything. It's not working now, so you know, you're running around naked on the Internet. So my suggestion is you either renew it or replace it with something else. Now, one of the good free ones is AVG from Grisoft.com, G-R-I-S-O-F-T. That's already on our list, I believe. And so,
well, plus I have a deal going on right now. It's called an Elite Suite, which we're offering for $45. It includes McAfee 2004, which is good for 1 year's worth of virus scanning. In that package, there's also, and these are not crippled versions, they are full versions, Quicken, an encyclopedia, WordPerfect, and a DVD program.
Nice!
All for $45.
Cheap at half the price.
I mean, you'd pay just that for McAfee. But we've got this special going right now. For $45, you get this Elite Suite, and it includes the most recent version of McAfee and all those other programs, too.
So one of those two should suit you.
What was that, Grisson.com?
Grisoft, G-R-I-S-O-F-T.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Sure. Bye-bye. Thanks. Never even boot your computer without an antivirus program running on it. Our next caller, Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You got a great show.
Thank you.
Before I tell you my situation, I just want to find out if you guys are truth detectors here. Have you ever heard of a phrase called reverse compatibility when it comes to USB ports between version 1.0 and 2.0?
Yes.
It's usually backward compatibility.
Yeah.
But
it's the same thing. Yes, 2.0 will run off a 1.1 hub at the slower speed.
Okay. Well, that's what I was told. And we purchased a multifunction printer from Dell. And we have an IBM Aptiva computer running Windows 98 with a USB port 1.0. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the new printer has a 2.0.
And it doesn't work.
And we have a 2.0 cable connecting the two. And when we loaded the print drivers at the end of the session, it invites you to print a test document, which the instructions encourage you to do. And every time we go to print the test document before exiting the print driver program setup, it gives an error message that the USB 001 has an error message that it's unable to print. And best...
You might want to just go out and purchase. You can get a USB 2 card, and they're like $25.
This is a laptop, right?
No, this is a regular...
Check to see if your USB ports are 1.0 or 1.1. Most USB 2.0s are backward compatible with 1.1,
okay.
But not all of them are backward compatible with 1.0.
Okay.
Or like I say, you can get a card for $25.
And that being the point, you can get a 2.0 card and it'll be much faster.
Did that printer have specific drivers for Win98 that you're running now?
Okay.
So that might be an issue, too. The printer might require XP.
Yeah, it might be connecting fine, but the printer won't work.
All right, thanks for the suggestions.
Thanks. Got to take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's...
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about our website. It's Soundbites.com.
bites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was, do you participate in distributed computing? I want to thank Marty for giving me that poll. Please, anytime you have an idea for a poll, for God's sake, send it to me. Distributed computing is like SETI at home or one of those things that's looking for a cure for cancer. It's basically a screensaver that you run, and then during the time your machine is idle, it connects to the net and lets this software use your machine to do calculations of various sorts. We had 324 of your voting. That made it number 53 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. In this particular case, 44% of you had no idea what distributed computing was. 31% of you said no. Only 9% of you said yes, followed by 8% saying I did but not right now, 8% no thanks, and only 1% of you, two votes, said I want to try it. One of the reasons we talk about this is that at AskNick.com, that's my website, we have a team, a SETI at home team. This week, the question of the week, the question du jour, is what do you think of the new steps in the security tango? Now, the security tango is something we've been talking about on this show for quite a while, and it has its very own website, securitytango.com.
You got to change the link on our page over to this one.
Yes,
this
I do.
It's a lot nicer.
Yes, thank you, it is. Thank you.
I like it.
I've created a whole new site for the security tango, and one of the things that has happened on it is my friend Bill Bateman, the lovely and talented Bill Bateman, has been talking about it and you know, going to people's homes and doing it. And he has some suggestions for stuff that I left out. We put it together, but I left out a bunch of things that we had talked about. And now I've got them back, put back due to my friend Bill Bateman. There's a brand new step one, killing all the stuff that may be lurking in the background waiting to reinfect your machine the minute you start doing something. So the question of the week is, what do you think of the new steps in the security tango? So far, we've had 64 votes. 63% of you think they're easy. 25% of you think they're doable. And 13% of you think they're lost now. That's fair. You certainly could feel lost about that. And if you do, then naturally you can make contact with either Bill Bateman or Dave or Steve or one of these guys who would be more than happy to do it all for
that's,
you.
That's why the virus writers and spam writers are winning, because it is such a complicated thing to keep them out.
Right. And there are people now starting up their very own little cottage industries, going to people's homes and doing this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose there's
entrepreneurs. Right.
I had another customer this week.
Oh, no.
Who's her IT department in the large company she works for had her run the restore disks to clean out a virus. Lost all her email, lost all the projects she was working on.
Everything.
Yep. People should be tech people like that should be shot. Granted, it's an easy way to do it.
Listen to
it's
us.
Dangerous.
Never run the restore disk unless you want to wipe out everything in your computer, because that's what it does. Your email is gone. All your documents are gone. All your settings are gone.
The best way to think of it, it's just like the day you pulled it out of the box.
Right. None of your stuff is on it. So if somebody tells you run the restore disk, tell them, come on over here. I got a baseball bat that wants to meet your knees. Once you're done voting in the poll.
And the Nigerian guys will send it.
Yeah. The Nigerian guys will send it for you. Once you're done voting on our website at soundbites.org, beneath the poll is a little yellow box. Click on the Give Us Your Opinion, and it'll go over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Very nice. And you can then vote, give us your opinion about the poll. Right now, we've got 39 people who've talked about the poll. One or two of them actually have something to do with the poll itself, which is kind of nice. Number 30, I believe 1,000 gigabytes is a terabyte, and 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte.
1024, actually.
1024, but I don't think you get to Googlebyte until after petabyte.
Exabyte is in there.
Exabyte next.
Yeah.
Then maybe Googlebyte. We'll figure that out, but 1,000 gigabytes is not a Googlebyte. I'm sorry. I wish it were. It would be easier, but it's not true. So anyway, please vote in our poll, and then join us in the forums. I'll tell you what, the forums are the best place to spend a cold and rainy afternoon. There are some terrific people in there.
Missed a few. Giga, Terra, Peta, Exa, Zeta, Yada.
Yadabytes.
Yada, 10 to the 24th.
Yada, 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 yada.
Exactly.
Yada.
That's a yottabyte. So at any rate, I would love to see you in the forums. You'll have a great time there. We also have all kinds of other neat stuff. Check out our links and stuff. We're back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Rich from Arondaquoid. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you.
I've got Roadrunner. My son's got three computers hooked up. They all work. We can get on the Internet with all three computers, except for the oldest.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Oldest computer.
Oh.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. When I try to get on a secure site, my wife does some banking. One computer, we can't get on secure site. I'll get on, go to OPhoto, upload my pictures, go to Payform. Well, let me pay for
it. How old is this oldest computer? What operating system is it running?
You're going to ask that. It's Windows 98, second edition, 4.10.2222A.
What,
we did have it upgraded. It was 95 when we had it upgraded.
What version of Internet Explorer are you running?
I don't know.
It's likely that the problem is you're running either version 5 of Internet Explorer, or you're running, whatever you're running, you're running with a lower or no encryption standard. And so your best bet is to either upgrade to Internet Explorer version 6, or as we prefer, Firefox or Mozilla or Netscape or Opera. Then everything should work fine.
Okay. Why would the other ones work in this?
Because they have a different version of Internet Explorer.
Yeah, you can find out what version of Explorer you're using by, if you go and start up Internet Explorer and you go to help, and then there's an about, and it'll tell you what version you're running. 10-1 odds, it's going to say Internet Explorer 5.0, where 6.1 is the most current.
See,
and
the newer versions have encryption built in.
Too.
Right, right. And the newer versions have encryption built in.
Okay.
The older versions you had to add it, and I bet it's not added. And the site that you're, or it's a lower version. You could have 40-bit encryption, and the banking site wants a minimum of 128-bit encryption.
Well, this says version 6.0.2800.1106.
Yeah, you're
and
still
under
banked.
Well, under that, a line or two, there should be something about encryption. What level encryption is loaded? If it doesn't say anything, then you have no encryption loaded.
Okay, I don't see. I see cipher strength, product ID, update version.
What's the cipher strength?
Cipher strength is 128-bit.
Well, that should work.
So
do you get an error message when you go to this website?
Don't. It just won't connect. It'll go to the site is down. Like, occasionally some site is down and say, you know, will not connect.
Mm-hmm.
But other sites work at the same time.
Yeah, I can get on any of the library or do anything like that. I can get on my email for my work site. So there's some sites that are just, if I want to, like, use a credit card or, like, the real secure site, like the banking site, it won't.
I would still go, because you said it's 6.0. It should be reading 6.1. Start up your Internet Explorer. Under Tools, there's Windows Update. Select that. It'll take you to the Windows Update screen. It'll scan your system for any updates, and I highly suggest downloading the updates.
Okay.
Start there and let us know.
So might need to increase the security level in the options. There's a off, medium, low, high security. You might have to raise that to high before the bank lets you in.
Right.
But you should get an error message about not being able to get in, it can't connect.
The other thing is you might have at some point told it you don't want cookies from that site, and a bank will want the cookies.
Well, that's what I think. If he does
but start with 6.1.
Yeah, yep. If he does the updates, it'll automatically set
it.
He'll
do all of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Our next caller, Michael from Henrietta. Welcome, Michael. What's your question?
Hi, how are you guys?
Peachy,
okay,
you?
Real quick, we got Windows 98 and up to date. We got an MSOE.dll is missing when we try to open Outlook Express. Went onto the Microsoft website and reinstalled, updated. Still can't do anything. Can we just put that one file back in?
MSOE.dll pretty much is Outlook Express.
Okay.
I can't imagine why it would be missing.
the Outlook install is corrupted.
What's the error message you get?
Cannot open file msoe.dll is missing.
Did you install from CD? Do you have a CD of Windows?
We did that once. It didn't seem to help. We were actually afraid to do the full install from the Windows.
You should
be. I don't want to wipe out my Outlook Express address book.
What you should do is go to winamp.win.
No. Well,
Zip.
Do you have another computer you can copy this file from? All right.
Nope.
Go to winzip.com.
Okay.
Download their unzipping program.
All right.
Put your CD in the drive.
Okay.
And go to it. There are a bunch of .cab files on that drive in some subfolder or other. It's been a long time since I looked at the 98
okay.
CD. But look through those cab folders. WinZip will actually open cab folders.
Okay.
And in one of them, you will find msoe.dll. Now, where does that go? I don't know. I think it goes either in the Windows directory or in the system directory.
System 32 or system.
Or system 32.
Okay.
Just keep moving it around until suddenly something works.
I mean, I personally want to get rid of Lookout anyways, but I want to open it to get all my contacts out of it.
Right, whatever
new email program you download should do that for you.
Yeah.
So if I just went and used Yahoo Mail, I could actually have it?
No.
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 No, you have to use an email program.
Like Eudora or something?
Eudora.
Yeah.
Eudora, Netscape,
Thunderbird.
Okay. All right.
There's also, I found a website called dll-files.com to let you download some of these more common missing files.
Okay.
I don't know anything about them, but it looks legitimate.
Yeah,
what was the name of
it?
DLL?
dll-files.com.
dll-files.com. Okay, that answers one. Another quickie on Windows XP in a different computer, not in the same place. I can't open my recycle bin. How does that get locked?
What happens when you try?
Nothing happens. It just says cannot open recycle.
Is it on a corporate network?
Yeah, that's something happening. What is the exact error message?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. Not at that computer.
See, it's kind of hard for us to be able to.
Yep.
Is it on a corporate network, though?
It does occasionally tie into a VPN through a corporate network from home.
Hmm.
It opens, but I can't empty it. I can't look at it. I mean, it opens up and just brings a blank box, but it says it can't do anything.
If you right-click on it and select Properties,
mm-hmm.
you should either have a choice of configure drives independently or use one setting for all drives.
Okay.
If it is set for use one setting for all drives and it's looking for the network, you're never going to be able to open it until you're connected.
Gotcha.
So connect. Dump the trash, then go into Properties and change it to say configure drives independently.
Okay.
And that should solve the problem.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounded good to him.
Mm-hmm.
We win, whether it's true or not. It sounded good. That's really all that counts for us.
That's good for, you know, making something on the fly.
Exactly right. We made it up and he bought it. Hey, can't beat that. Our next caller is Al from Fairport. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Yes. Had AdAware in my system, and I'm running XP, and I've used it to, you know, scan my hard drive, et cetera.
Right.
And it wouldn't, for the longest time, wouldn't receive updates to the
right.
To it. Okay. So finally I got frustrated and tried to delete it. Don't think I have it completely deleted out of my system and wanted to reload it, and I'm having a lot of trouble reloading it.
Yeah. Did you uninstall it or just go in and start randomly removing files?
Just randomly removing
files.
Yeah,
that's a bad thing. Where you,
okay.
Normally, this is for everybody else now. When you want to delete something, go to Add Remove Programs and delete it there. The problem is you've deleted most of the files but left all the registry entries. When you deleted all those files, did you empty the trash?
More than likely, yes.
Okay, then you can't restore them.
Because the only way to get rid of that is now go into the registry, searching for all entries of AdAware and manually deleting them one at a time. And unless you've done this before... I don't recommend it.
Okay.
If you have the installer from the original version you originally installed, you may be able to reinstall it again because the registry entries are there that it expects, and then do an uninstall of it.
Okay.
That might work if you have the original installed.
Yeah, it would certainly start there. Otherwise, boy, you're going to do a lot of wandering around in the registry.
There may be instructions at LavaSoft for manually removing Adaware.
But right, LavaSoftUSA.com is the home website for Adaware.
And they would tell you which entries to delete in the registry with the very dire warnings about not deleting anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nook-a-doke.
Thank you very much, Mike.
And, yeah, the reason it probably stopped installing updates is because the program was too old. Eventually, you have to upgrade the whole program to get the newer definition updates.
Yeah,
because
it won't work with the older engine.
Okay.
Okay.
Okey-doke, thanks. Our next caller? Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just need your opinion, you and your team there, your opinion between thinking about either purchasing Roadrunner or DSL from my local telephone company here, Frontier. Any recommendations between the two types of connections as far as your recommendation, which one you would choose?
Yeah. Both are very good. Yeah.
Both beat dial-up.
Yep.
Yeah, both of them beat dial-up by a lot. I happen to be a big fan of Roadrunner simply because I've used it since the beta test.
And I've been using DSL and been very pleased with that also.
Some people like Frontier and hate Time Warner. Some people like Time Warner and hate Frontier. You know,
is there a security issue between either two? Because
no.
I believe with the cable network, you know, you can share users on the same cable versus DSL. You have one dedicated user.
No, you don't have one dedicated
user until you get to the central office, and then it's just the same.
It's both Roadrunner and DSL are shared at a slightly different point in the network that doesn't matter to you.
Right, but they're both, from your point of view, they're both shared.
The one issue that would matter, but there's no way to know, is how close you are to the central office. If you are the Roadrunner. If you're closer to the telco CO than you are to the Time Warner head end,
right,
or vice versa, whichever one you're closer to will be slightly faster. But there's no way to know that. And slightly faster, you know, they're both rated at 3 megabits, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. Basically, slightly faster means you're one of those geeks who times it religiously and compulsively every day and writes down, I was 4 bytes faster on Tuesday.
That's one thing I missed about the old shop.
Don't laugh. It happens all the time. Yeah, in the old shop, you were good to go.
Well, the old shop, I was the closest any person could be to a DFLAM because it was literally, the phone company was the other side of my wall.
Yeah, right. It was
literally
behind
the
wall, right.
There was not a distance issue.
Yeah,
it wasn't even out of the building.
There's a 40,000-foot distance for DSL, and Dave was like 4 feet.
Yeah. So he was kind of within the distance with no trouble, right. Yeah.
So it sounds like it boils down to price, whoever's got
right.
the better deal.
I've got a lot of friends that will switch
you
back.
You got friends?
Yeah. They'll switch back and forth. Whoever has the better deal now. And then at the end of that deal, you call them up and say, I'm going to switch to the other guys because they have a deal.
Yay.
Okay.
In fact, there were a couple
You're
of guys
welcome.
In the old Fido network that would do that. They'd have five different phone companies.
Yeah, right.
And every month they'd switch phone companies depending on who had the
better deal
that month.
And not just that, but they'd play them off against each other, which I loved. That's hard to do with cable and DSL.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good for that.
Well, it's actually getting easier now because there are other companies. Earthlink now offers cable or DSL. In Rochester, that you know they resell Frontier and Time Warner. I don't know how they do it cheaper, but so you can have other companies to buy from now.
Right. They're still the carrier. Frontier and Time Warner are still the carrier, but they're not your internet service provider anymore. Listen, that beautiful music tells me it's time to take another break, so that you can get these beautiful commercial messages, and then we'll be back on the other side of that with Dave, Steve, Rob, and me, Nick. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Fashion Way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, David from Rochester, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Hi, I just had a question. Every time I try to defragment my computer, I have Microsoft Millennium Me.
Right.
And It doesn't do anything. It just keeps on. I can see the you know, the little things moving, but it's at zero complete all the time. And one time I even left it like the whole night and it didn't do anything.
This Someone is actually me. Fairly common, David.
Piece of junk.
Well, no, never mind the operating system. The problem is that
it's a known issue, even though Microsoft won't admit to it.
In every version of Windows.
Yeah, Windows 98 and you've got to start those programs up in Windows, or when they're starting up, hold down the control key, and you'll get a menu. You want to start it up in safe mode. Safe mode there will not load all the high-end drivers. Matter of fact, if your screen...
And it won't let anything run in the background.
Yeah, it shuts everything down in the taskbar. Your icons will be a lot larger. But from there, you can go and run the scan disk and the defrag.
See, the problem is that defrag won't work if something else touches the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And often there are programs running in the background that put log files on the hard drive or whatever they do, or your antivirus software always checking the hard drive. So rebooting in safe mode means it's not on the network, none of that stuff loads in the background, so nothing's touching the drive, so you can defrag.
So when I reboot the computer, I press control key?
Hold the control key down until you see a menu.
I also bought Norton System Works.
Yeah.
Because they said that might help doing the defragmenting.
No, do it in...
No, same problem.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do it in safe mode.
Right,
it'll be option 3 on the menu.
And the other quick question that I had, because I just bought the Norton System Works, I had an old version of Norton, I think it's 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something in the instructions that I got to uninstall the if it's older than 2002. Do I just go to add and remove programs?
Yep.
That will do it completely?
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you much, David. Our next caller, Doug, from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question? Doug, are you there?
There
he is. Somebody basically just asked the question that I was going to ask.
Oh, good.
And that had to do with removing AdAware and do it from add or remove programs. I had the same thing. I would get into the program and do an update, and, of course, it'd tell me I had 6.0 or something, and it would say, you know, there's no update available. And I did that for months and months, and I listened to you guys. And
if you look down the screen,
so,
you look down the screen a little farther, it says you should download 6.0.181.
Yeah, and what I did was just went into the add remove program thing.
That's good.
Okay, I've dumped it. I'm going to redo the Security Tango thing. Okay, but my question is, whenever I go into Stinger, which is the third component, it never seems to give me a opportunity to do an update on that.
Isn't any. You would have to download a fresh copy.
Yeah, you...
Oh, okay.
And it says that on the Security Tango page.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, you need to download a fresh copy each time, because the whole point is Stinger kills all those programs that normally kill antivirus programs. And the only way they can do that is that every time they run it, it checks itself.
Gotcha.
First.
Okay.
So you can't add...
you can't add to it then.
Right. They have to just recompile it and have it checked against the new version
each
time.
It's just a tool. And each time you want to use that tool, you got to get the most recent version.
It's like a one-use tool.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's like the toothpaste you get at the airport.
That's right. I've gotten that at hotels, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
You take a picture of the system and cleaned it out, but then after you're done,
there you go.
Very, very good. Okay, I understand now. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you a lot, Doug. Our next caller, Rich from Roch. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, I have two questions, actually. My first question is, I have a My Search bar on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it came from.
Spyware.
And I can't get rid of it.
There's an MSB remove program. So, well, first, have you run the Security Tango?
I haven't done. I have McAfee. I have AdWare 6.0.
Yes. Head over to securitytango.com.
Okay.
And click the Let's Dance button and follow those steps one after the other. Go right from the beginning, go to the very end, and like any good tango, don't skip a step or you're not dancing.
Okay.
And you're going to have to run the AdAware and SpyBot in safe mode to get rid of this My Search bar, because it's a really nasty...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I ran the AdWare when it was on. Now I run it in safe mode.
Right. You'll need to update the version you have. 6.0 cannot be used anymore. You need the 181.
181.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And one other question.
Yep.
I have Mozilla Firefox for a browser, but I still have the Internet Explorer on here.
Yep.
And I was just worried that I would lose information if I deleted the Internet Explorer.
You can't.
Yeah,
Microsoft has woven Internet Explorer deep within the operating system simply because they don't care what you want. They just want what they want. So you just leave it alone. Just ignore it.
You
don't
can
run it. You're good.
Delete it off your desktop.
Right. You can remove the icon from your desktop, but you cannot remove the program from Windows.
Okay, but if I go on through Firefox, I still get pop-ups from Internet Explorer.
You can turn those off.
The pop-ups.
Yeah. Go to Tools, Options. You with me so far?
Yep.
Under Web Features, there's a choice to say Block Pop-up Windows.
And that'll block the Microsoft pop-ups.
It'll block every pop-up, unless you've got Microsoft running. Unless you've got Windows or IE running as well somewhere, and of course Firefox doesn't have any control over that. But as long as you're not actually running IE, you should be fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show anywhere, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Who can understand? It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Gil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, guys. So I called a couple weeks, maybe a month ago, and took your advice on Linux.
Well, that'll get you into more trouble
Linux,
than anything.
And I still have a bunch of Windows machines. So well, the question basically is, now that I have at least some isolation from the spam world and the virus world, what's the best way to cross? I usually cross-mount my disks between machines.
Yeah.
And I back up by basically running one of the programs that copies the disk.
Sure.
So I actually never have to back anything up. I just basically always have two or three copies.
That's a good thing.
So now I have this Linux machine, and it's sitting off there with disks of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the best way to kind of hook those up so I can?
Samba.
Samba, okay.
S-A-M-B-A. You need to run Samba. It's really two components, SMB and NMB, the system message block and the network.
Client and server.
Yeah, right. Basically, client and server. And you run both of those, SMB and NMB. Usually, what version of Linux are you running?
I have an Enterprise Red Hat 3, version 3, it says.
Man, I would have thought Samba would come with Enterprise.
It may. I just figured before I go leaping into the abyss, I'd ask.
Yeah, what Samba. You want is Samba, and look around in your documentation to find out exactly how to run it on Enterprise version of Red Hat.
Okay.
Yeah, Samba
now,
is basically the
Samba
Windows.
Before.
Yeah, it's basically the Windows file sharing protocols that lets the PC see the Unix box as a Windows machine.
Okay.
And the Linux box log into the PCs as a Windows client.
Alrighty.
And that's a lot easier than adding NFS to Windows.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just figured I'd ask and see what I like I said, I've used Samba before, but I figured I'd ask and get the. Another quick one, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I think spam still shows up on mail no matter what you do. So
you're
is
right.
there a good spam filter for Linux?
What are you using as your email program?
Let's see, I'm using Evolution.
And who is your provider of email?
I have Roadrunner.
Evolution, I believe, has a built-in junk filter. There's also a product called Spam Assassin.
We had a customer try McAfee Spam Killer, and 90% of what it stopped was good messages.
Yeah.
You have to train it. And
yeah.
She didn't want to bother training it all, so she just let the spam come in.
Yeah, right. But on Linux, that, of course, doesn't work. So I believe Evolution has a spam filter in it. But again, you have to train these things. I don't remember. I have Evolution, but I use Thunderbird, and so I don't remember if it does it. But I believe it has, in fact, an anti spam section, a junk filter, and
okay.
You just have to train it.
I haven't just crossed my mind while I had you guys on.
Yeah, the way you do that in general for everybody is save your spam in a folder. Whenever you get spam, don't delete it. Save it until you've got a couple of thousand messages. For me, that's a day.
A day or two, yeah.
Yeah. That's less than a day. I usually get 3,000 a day now. I actually paid attention to it last night. I get about 3,000 a day. Save it all, and then when you've got about 1,000 bad messages and 1,000 good messages, then you go and train it, and it basically you say, all of these are bad, learn them, and all of these are good, learn them. And then as new stuff comes in, you can train it to be junk or good. It'll find a lot of stuff now that's already junk, but as you, as new junk comes in, you can tell it, oh yeah, this is junk. And it'll continue, you know, training itself in that.
Well, good, good. Speaking of the mail, I did move my mail over from Windows, and it looked like text was the best way to go. Is that true?
Text is the best way to go, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. Next week, we're on at noon because the Bills are on at 1:20.
Yankees.
What did I say?
Bills.
The Bills? No, the Yankees. They're on at 1:20.
The Bills play every 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's versus BAL, which is Baltimore, and I read that as Bills because I'm an idiot. We'll hopefully be on at noon. We'll put that up on the website. Who are we? Wham! 1180 WHAM. I'm Nick Francesco, and this is Soundbites.